here. This is a paradigm, cause it's about that time for a halo to shine, to shine, to shine, to shine. Good morning, good morning. Well, good afternoon, everybody. Thank you, thank you, thank you for tuning in to another edition of Eyes Can See. Let's bless this message this morning. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, thank you, thank you, thank you for giving me this platform that it may inform, encourage, and give your people the knowledge that is missing about who we are and whose we are. Thank you, Father, for blessing me to find this knowledge and information to give to your people that we may be enlightened as to who we are. So in Jesus' name, I thank you for blessing this message that it may edify your children. In Jesus' name, amen. So good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for tuning in to Eyes Can See again. Tell your friends to tune in to discover the missing information about who we are as a people and where we still have to go next. This story is not over yet. We're still in the phase of discovering who we truly are. So let's start with Isaiah 61, 1 through 3, because it is so fitting for where we are in time and about discovering who we are as a people. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance to our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. Okay, so remember, last week I said that it's time to bow out gracefully, to exit to the right, black people, because we at the end of a thing, which you can find that in Isaiah 34, y'all. I'm going to read to you what it says later. This is the year that has finally come for God to redeem his children, y'all. Wow. He's going to redeem us from the evil curse he allows Satan to afflict us with, which you can find that in Isaiah 63 and 4 and Deuteronomy 28, 15 through 68, all the curses that are under Deuteronomy 28. And I told you that he did it in the heart of Job. He used the story of Job, chapter 1 and chapter 2, explains how God allowed Satan to test Job because of Job's good heart. He knew Job's righteous heart, because Father God knew that Job would not turn his back on him. He knew where his blessings come from. So he allowed us to go through this situation that we find ourselves in, Africans of the diaspora, to bring us through. You know, the Bible was written in parables. Our lives are the story. We're walking out the story of the Bible. And it is a parable. You have to know how to decipher God's word to find us in it, and to find, you know, what is going on with us and who is who in the world and who the players are. You can't get it all mixed up and confused because of what is being taught. So we have to know how to decipher God's word, to know what has happened and to find ourselves in his word. So you do know the Gentile prophetic people Or should I put it like this? Do you know that the Gentile prophetic people who are in the church are prophesying that there will be a great shock and surprise that will hit the earth? And it will reveal that we are the next big thing to happen to the world. You have to know, just as we were stolen and brought here, that we must leave these lands where we have been scattered to. See, it wasn't just that we were brought into these lands, because I told you that we were stolen and brought here. So, you know that the way we came in these lands, oh, we not going to leave the very same way that we came. We're going to leave on pleasure cruises and airplane flights, first class airplane flights. You can find that in Isaiah 60 and 8, around Isaiah 60 and 8 or Isaiah 60 and 9, you know, in those scriptures. Look it up and see. It tells you that we're going to fly on planes, and it tells you that we're going to go in ships. And it also tells you that this is going to be a process, that not all of us are going to leave at the same time. So it's going to be done in like two different parts, because we have people that are caught up in this system. Not everybody can go at the same time. You have people that are locked up in penitentiaries. You have our children that are caught up in the system, in the foster care system, in the adoption system, you know, the adoption agencies. You have all types of situations that prevent all of us from leaving at the same time. But you better know that just as we came into this land, you better know, oh, we gonna be leaving this land, y'all. It's a part of the plan. It's a part of God's plan. And like I said, if you know how to decipher the parables of the Bible, then you will know that what I'm telling you is real. You can find it. You can read it for yourself in the Word of God. Okay. So, just like I was saying, we must leave the land that has eaten our people through homegrown terrorism. Our ancestors lived their lives under terrorism, slavery, bondage, and all types of afflictions. Atrocities is still our bread to eat until the end of this thing, y'all. This thing is only a mark of royalty set upon you that separates you from those in the world. So don't look at slavery as and these bondages, these atrocities that we have to suffer. Don't look at that as a bad thing. You better look at that thing as a good thing, because it's a mark of your royalty. It's a mark of who you are as a people. We must know who we are and whose we are. So, I also want you, let's do an exercise right now. I want you to mentally picture our ancestors with chains on their hands and feet and their yoke on their necks being marched into the bellies of slave ships, y'all, at the beginning of this thing. Y'all need to see this picture. Imagine this. Close your eyes and imagine this. Come with me so I can describe this thing to you. So imagine them taking this awful, terrorizing journey in the bellies of slave ships, y'all, on the waters of affliction. You need to see this picture now in your mind's eye. Our ancestors coming into these troubled lands of the valley of the shadow of death. because we are living in the valley of the shadow of death, wherever God has scattered us to the four corners of the world. Okay, now since you got that picture, I want you to use your mind's eye again to see on that special day when those chains are broken and those yokes destroyed and that a halo appears around our heads. Imagine that day, that glorious day when the world will see who we are. They put their mouths on us to say that we were all those proverbs and those bywords. They called us the N-word. They called us monkeys. They called us all sorts of terrible things. They said we were three-fifths of a human. The royal people. They displaced us. You know anybody who went to such great lengths? Who do this, y'all? Go to such great lengths to take our language from us, to take our names, our birth names from us, to separate us from the land we came from, the continent of Africa. But they tell you that you Ham seed, y'all. They put you under Ham seed. But what we into can only be found under Shem. Only Shem. What we are going through is under the curse that Shem had to go through. And Shem is God's children. We're the Asiatic black people. So this thing is deep. It's like Alice in Wonderland. They hid the truth down that rabbit hole. And it's filled with so many darn lies. Until it's so hard to decipher. What happened? How it happened? And why it happened? But if we take the word of God, y'all, and them lost books, and piece this thing together, I promise you, the picture becomes clear. That picture, everybody will see what that picture is. Yeah. Everybody will see that history was rewritten by the victor, by them people, those Gentiles, who first came into this land in the 1500s when they claimed they discovered America, where people were already in the land. The indigenous black people was already in the land. They say they discovered a new world, y'all. And when they did this, they took the, if when they didn't kill all the indigenous people, the rest who remained alive, they transported them out the land. So they had reverse. Yes, reverse. A reverse situation going on. They had a reverse slave trade going on, where they took people out of the land and sent them to other countries. And then they got here. They cleared the land to a certain point, you know, where they could move around without being killed by the indigenous people. They made a way for themselves. And then they came into Africa and got us in the 1600s. That's when, in 1619, that's when this the curse of the 400 years started counting toward us. And that's when everything just got all crazy. But let me keep telling you guys, let me keep reading to you so you can see how all of this plays into these end times and how we gonna come up out of this thing. Because this thing wasn't never told to us like this. And I want to ask the pastors, okay, when you go to seminary school, I'm pretty sure all kinds of red flags start waving around and start coming up, you know, in your mind saying, okay, well, if God's people went through all these different situations and everything that is coming up out of the land in the Middle East and everywhere that it's been discovered, archaeological finds, it's coming up black, nappy hair and brown skin, wide noses, you know, and thick lips. And most of the statues been, you know, they destroy the nose and the lips. Why is that? Why did they go to such great lengths to knock the noses and the lips off? Come on, y'all. Put the picture together. Come on. The victors, the ones who won, rewrote history. They rewrote it. And they put you on the bottom. They said you didn't have no contribution to society. None whatsoever. When they stole all of our history and said it was theirs. But we have no contribution. Now, how's that? When Egypt, and let's go to the back of your Bible, to the map of the Table of Nations, where it says, Mitzrayim, who is Egypt? That's his biblical name. It's Ham's son. Now, come on. Ham is black all day long. He ain't mixed. He black. Now, come on, pastors. Ham is black. Egypt is black. Mitzrayim is black. Come on, pastors. Why are we allowing Hollywood to present Angelina Jolie as Queen Nefertiti and Cleopatra? Why we let them get away with Elizabeth Taylor as Cleopatra? Give me a break. We got the Bible, y'all. We got the Table of Nations. Come on. Come on, y'all. All we got to do is study to show ourselves approved. It's too much in the Bible. Now, if you read, come on, pastors, if you read the information that the apocryphal books give you, those books that came, that was a part of the King James Bible up to 1611, when they last printed the apocryphal books in the King James Bible. Come on now, yo. I know all kinds of red flags had to go off and start waving themselves in front of your eyes. They had to. Because this don't make no sense. Don't you know when the devil tell a story, he leave it all confusing when it comes to the truth? He ain't going to tell you the truth of the subject. He going to twist it up, change it around, and make it fit him. And when he do that, it's confusing. It don't match up. And you can see that lie. You can see that lie. It don't take a rocket science to see that these are lies. It don't take no rocket science to see that them Jewish people are not us. Come on, y'all. But that's what the book of Revelations is about. To prove to everybody, to prove to the world, what has happened in darkness is being revealed. What has happened in darkness is coming to light. Ain't nothing you can do in this earth that will not be made revealed. Yes and amen. The truth will find a way to shine a light in darkness. The truth is going to shout it out from the rooftop. So that's what Revelations, the book of Revelations, is about. It's about discovering what the Gentiles have done under Satan during his rule. Why he had to disguise and erase our history and take us out of the mix. And then they would tell you, just like I told y'all guys, about the Museum of Oriental Arts here in Chicago, on the campus of the Chicago University, over in Hyde Park. How the Rockefellers set up this museum of the Oriental Arts. And it's got all of our historical information, because these people are black. The Egyptians are black. I told you they ham. All of the Egyptians, the Assyrians, the Persians, Anatolians. I mean, it's got Babylonians, the Israelites. It's got all of our information there. Carvings in the stones. Pictures, paintings of brown-skinned people, black like us. And then they say, this is their ancestors. Oh, come on, y'all. How we start off black and we end up white? Come on, y'all. I ain't going for it. I'm gonna make noise until the day I die to prove this thing. Because you ain't getting away with this. This is a time of revealing. I wrote this book right here. Trees of Righteousness. That has pictures in it of how we used to look. And I'm going to show y'all this one picture that's going to prove it all. I want y'all to see this picture right here in my book. Mm-hmm. This picture right here in my book. Now, if we started off as black people in the land of Israel, how did we become white? Come on, y'all. God didn't let me find these pictures to show you all what we looked like. God did not let me find these pictures. And I'm going to show this picture again so we can all be on the same page and we can all know exactly what we used to look like, because I am not going to allow the world to tell me as a black woman who I am, and I ain't going to let them tell you who we are as a people. Oh no. God did not put me in this earth for me to allow this lie to ride, because we have come to the end of a thing. When we were told about that Bible story, that Satan was kicked down to earth and he became God of this world, you best believe that was true. All this is true. And you best believe we're living in his kingdom. But nobody ever read the rest of that scripture. Genesis 15, 13 through 14, and then bring it forward to the New Testament. See, that was the Old Testament. Bring it forward to the New Testament. Acts 7, 6 through 7, which says that we will be strangers in a land not our own. Yeah, and indigenous people, I'm talking to y'all, because y'all love to say, oh, this was the land. Yeah, it may have been the land once upon a time, but the part of the land that God talking about, where we came from, is still over there across the waters. In that place where they blew up, you know, they tried to separate, you know, what they call now the Middle East from the continent of Africa. Now, who do that? Try to separate the land from where we come from. They changed our name and then the name of our land where we came from too. Come on, y'all just did too doggone much. Y'all left a trail for us to find. Y'all left breadcrumbs for us to trace and find out. God, dog, you know what? We Asiatic black people. We come from this part of the land. Mm-hmm. Look and see where they trying to, you know, disguise everything, erase everything. Just take us out of it. Yeah. I mean, why are you trying so hard? Why are you trying to take us away from where we came from? And then you turn around and say, oh, these are our ancestors. Are you kidding me? Stop it with the lies. Stop it. Because they ain't flying no more. This is a tan for everybody who land to be shown for what they are. A liar. And you will find out. Okay, so I want to talk about more about, do we understand about what these 400 years truly mean? Which I was just telling you guys. You know, basically, what these 400 years were about. This was about Satan's fall. This was about our fall as God's children. And this was about man's fall, Adam's fall, because he disobeyed God. God caused all this to work together for our good, because he said, because of our ancestors that failed, we had to go through this punishment. But let me tell y'all something. And going through that punishment, now you look at those Jewish people, and I'm staying on them because we gonna sort through this thing and get it straight, y'all. Mm-hmm. We gonna sort through it. Now, these are Jewish people. They say that they are us. Okay, if that's so, where y'all 400 years at? Because I just read you two scriptures. I just told you two scriptures that says that God's children was going to go through a 400-year punishment. And you can't say the captivity of Egypt back in antiquity was that captivity, because that was 430 years. God specifically said 400 years. And it just so happened we're living in a time frame where black people, Africans of the diaspora, who came over here and were stolen and were brought over here on slave ships. So we fit that, right? So if we fit that, where is their 400 years? If Esau is the end of a thing, and Jacob is the beginning. Why is it that Esau, who represents the Jews, who represents Rome, the Christian church, who the Jews, like I said, are the Khazars, who's supposed to be representing us, where is their 400 years? You can't go backwards because Esau is the end of a thing. So if Esau is us, his 400 years had to come at the end of a thing. You got that? We're at the end, y'all. We're in our 400 years. Even the president, Donald Trump, Donald J. Trump signed into legislation a bill, H.R. 1242, commemorating 400 years, 400 years of African-American achievements here in America. Them same 400 years. That's in scripture. We ain't say 430 years. We said 400 years. That's those same 400 years, y'all. And then, why I am so confident about God's word, because according to the Hebrew, way of believing, the Hebrew year 5779 is the year of birth and the year of the snake. That means war. It means the year of birth, Isaiah 66 and 8 and Revelations 12, both say we rise into a nation at a moment's notice. So put two and two together. And then you will find out who you are, black people. Why you had to come over here. Because God wanted to work in you and through you and out of you his purpose. God wanted to form in you pure gold. Because he said you are his children. He chose you out of the world. We ain't choose him. He chose us. So in him choosing us, these Gentiles, let's go with this thing called white fragility. White fragility. Let's go with this thing called white people. This title. Where this thing come from? You couldn't even find such a thing before 1681. Couldn't find it. This a term they came up with. Now, any of the scripture in the Bible that says, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought to. Well, it seems to me, they thinking of themselves more highly than they ought to, because God is the one who chose the people whom he says his children. Now, if he chose his children in the world, how do these people say they superior, that everybody else is beneath their feet? How is this? Come on, y'all. And then, another thing. When these Gentiles, when they let their police officers kill our men and women and children, because they've killed us all, then 99% of the time, our people are complying. When they tell them, put your hands up, we put our hands up. When they say, show me your license, we try to comply, but as soon as we move, pow, pow, they shoot you. Come on. You are innocent until you prove guilty. Am I right? Well, if that's the case, you were righteous because you did nothing wrong. You complied with what they told you to do. And then, even if you were moving away, trying to get out of the situation, but you did not have a weapon, they still say you were wrong. And then they want to use the background of a person against that person. Now, come on, what that background had to do with that person getting killed? What the background of a person had to do with what was going on when the person was being arrested or when the person had been stopped by the police? They are two separate things. That's apples and oranges. You can't mix the two. One is apples and the other is oranges. How they blend together? How you gonna use a person's past against them when you gonna stop them on some mess because you want to kill a black person? I guess you out to hunt black people today. It's hunt black people today, day to day, when these things happen. That's what it boils down to. Let's go out and hunt some black people. We can get away with it. They ain't got nobody to stand up for them. Oh, if it's the law, it's a double standard to that. Because the law works in our favor, not theirs. Because we are the ones who form the law. Okay? We're in their world. This is Satan's world right now. So we're going by their laws. Their laws are formed for them. It's a double standard. So you all have to wake up. You have to do some association. You have to know that this history of ours was stolen. And you have to know who you are, because specific things are going to happen with you. So let's go through some things about what this shift has brought us, how this shift happened, and it gave our power and authority. It transferred our power and authority to them. Where Europe, Russia, Germany, and Great Britain, and all those places was once ruled by blacks. But when the shift happened, all that transferred over to them. But guess what? We back into another shift where all of our wealth, where when we fell in the land, we all of it laid exposed. And they came and took it. So I want to read to you about what the word says about what's going to happen with, let's see, I'm finding this scripture where it says, let's see, okay, here it is. Let's go to Zechariah 5 and 8. I want to tell y'all about what a lie does and about what's going to happen about these lying situations that we find the world has put themselves in when they claim to be us. Okay, let's see. Zechariah 5 and 8. Let's read. We're gonna start with 1 through 8. Let's see what God's word says about those who are lying about their identity, because like I said, this is identity theft, y'all. Okay, Zechariah 5 and 8 talks about the woman in the basket, but let's talk about the flying scroll. Zechariah 5 and 1 through 8. I look again, and there before me was a flying scroll. He asked me, "What do you see?" I answered, "I see a flying scroll, 20 cubits long and 10 cubits wide." And he said to me, "This is the curse that is going out over the whole land. For according to what it says on one side, every thief will be banished. And according to what it says on the other, everyone who swears falsely will be banished. The Lord Almighty declares, I will send it out, and it will enter the house of the thief and the house of anyone who swears falsely by my name. It will remain in that house and destroy it completely. Both its timbers and its stones." So did you hear what the word of God said about those who lie, especially in the name of God, who claim to be a people that they not? I told you the whole Middle East is out of place. I told you all that's coming up out the land, testifying to who the original people, the authentic people, indigenous people of the land were. They are people who look just like me and you. Black people, nappy hair, and brown skin. So this is what's going to happen to them people who claiming to be us, who claiming our past, our stolen history. People think God ain't real. Wait and see. I told y'all springtime is magical time. That's the year, the Hebrew year of 5779. Ain't my word. It's God's word. Yep. He said springtime. Springtime is always the time God allowed his children to come out of captivity, wherever he scattered them and wherever he sent them in the earth. Even in antiquity, always it was around springtime. So you better know, y'all, we coming into something. This thing about to get really, really interesting. Yes, it is. Okay, and about that woman in the basket. Then the angel who was speaking to me came forward and said to me, "Look up and see what is appearing." I asked, "What is it?" He replied, "It is a basket." And he added, This is the iniquity of the people throughout the land. It's the iniquity of the people throughout the land, y'all. These are their lies. This is their stuff right here. Then the cover was raised, and there in the basket sat a woman. He said, "This is wickedness." And he pushed her back into the basket and pushed its lead cover down on it. Then I looked up, and there before me were two women with a wing in their wings. These were two female angels, y'all. They had wings like those of a stork, and they lifted up the basket between heaven and earth. "Where are they taking the basket?" I asked the angel who was speaking to me. He replied, "To the country of Babylonia to build a house for it. When the house is ready, the basket will be set there in place." Okay. So this will be for them, for those who have lied. This will be their portion, because wickedness cannot abide with us. God said he was taking that. He was taking wickedness out, away from us. And those who had a wicked heart, those who are claiming to be us, this is their portion. This is what they are going to have to suffer, because they tried to be something that they were not. They tried to make it seem like they were us. So yes, they have to abide by what the word of God says will happen to them. And talking about what's about to hit the world, what's about to hit us as a people, y'all do know that this president and this administration want to take things backwards. They want to go back 400 years, y'all. And in going back 400 years, they saw a time where we were a blessing to them, where we were the beginning of capitalism for them. They think that this is going to work all over again. They forgot to read scripture, y'all. This will never be repeated again. And this is the end of a thing. What they thought, they need to read. And they say, put it in a book, because black people won't read. Ooh, looked like that was a double-edged sword, and that switched around to them. They need to read. What, they didn't think God's word is true? Okay, we're going to see if God's word is true or not. We're going to see if God's word is going to come to pass. Whose report do you choose to believe? I choose to believe the report of the Lord. God's word is the only authoritative, irrefutable word. Can't nothing shut that word down. Can't nothing replace that word. That word is light. It shows forth a lie any day. So let's go with these slogans that were portrayed when the alt-right marched on Virginia. And you know why this is so important, y'all? Because in 1619, in Port Comfort, Virginia, 20-plus Africans, they were free at the time. They were taken from a ship that was going to Hispaniola and put on this ship called the White Lion and brought to Port Comfort, Virginia. That's very important, y'all, because this thing is making a full circle. It's going back to where it started. This 400 years where it began. It's going back to court. That it went back to Virginia, y'all. Okay, so anyway, let's look and see these slogans that the far right groups marching. This is a report about the far right groups that was marching that Friday and Saturday, chanting slogans about blood and soil. Blood and soil. Okay. So the phrase blood and soil has a long history. This person, Mark Pitkavich, he's a senior research fellow with the Anti-Defamation League Center on Extremism. He said it originated in Germany and is the English translation of Blut und Boden, which means blood and soil. The idea of promoting German nationalism simply by conservatives and people on the right was a really big deal in Germany in the late 1800s and early 1900s, he said. And they started coming up with slogans to sort of help create the nationality. And Blut und Boden was one of those. It's a combination of race and place. Those are the things that are holding the German people together. That's what he says. The phrase was repopularized in Nazi era by Richard Walther Dahr, a high-level Nazi who was Minister of Food and Agriculture, Pitkavich said. Now, he says Blut und Boden is a combination of race and place. And then they try to say, this ain't about race. Well, if it ain't about race, why are they using this? Y'all better put two and two together. A race war is coming. Okay, it says, you can see how someone like him, a Nazi and involved in agriculture, would really like the phrase blood and soil, he says, talking about Richard Walther Dahr. Because members of the Nazi party use blood and soil, neo-Nazi groups and other white supremacists have also deployed the same phrase, y'all. If a quote, an unquote, white nationalist, if you are a quote, unquote, white nationalist, if you want to create a white homeland, you can see how the same aspect of race and place can be very convenient, Pitkavich says. You will not replace us. Jews will not replace us, is what they say. He says, you will not replace us began to emerge as a chant, though he said it is an expression that stems from the common white supremacist concept. Modern white supremacist ideology, whether you're talking about the alt-right or neo-Nazis or racist skinheads or the Ku Klux Klan, is centered around the concept that the white race is threatened with imminent extinction. Wow. That's Satan's kingdom anyway. Pitkavich said, that's part I added about Satan's kingdom, not Pitkavich. that the survival of the white race itself is in doubt because it is being doomed by a rising tide of color, controlled and manipulated by the Jews. And so modern white supremacist ideology has become a very desperate, cornered rat sort of ideology where they basically rationalize that virtually anything is justified if it will somehow, quote, unquote, save the white race. Let's take this thing back, y'all. Let's take it back to Genesis 27, where the blessings were pronounced, where Jacob stole Esau's blessing, which it was supposed to be Jacob's anyway, because God blessed the younger with kingship, priesthood, and royalty. He didn't give it to the older twin. He gave it to the younger twin. But Jacob being, you know, Jacob, you know, his name means that he do things underhandedly. He stole the blessing, which was his anyway. But anyway, in saying, they never had rule over us. the blessing that Esau got, it was to conquer by the sword. He was to conquer by the sword. And our neck was on, our yoke was on his neck. He threw it off because a shift had happened. And it was his time to rule through Satan. Before then, they never had rule over us. And if they did, prove it to me in history. Prove it to me biblically. Because I got my information from what God revealed to me, first of all, where to find all this information, revelation knowledge, biblical information, the apocryphal books, and through world history books, and even through the Jewish history books. Come on now. You can find all this information. You can track it. It tells you. So, this is only Satan's rule. Gentile rule and Esau's rule was only Satan's rule for a 400-year period. We at the end. So that's why they walk around with these signs saying Jews, you will not replace us and Jews will not replace us. Go figure. I'm really running out of time, so I can't really get into the far right, white nationalists and the White Lives Matter, what they think that their lives matter because they are being extinct as a race of people. Well, that is why it is so important that Black Lives Matter, because of the way we were brought into this country. We were stolen and brought here. So the rules were against us when we came into this land because we came under a curse. So we have no representation. We have no advocate to stand for us until Daddy God says, time's up. With springtime, time's up. That 400 years is wrapped up, y'all. Then Daddy God is the one who will stand for us because we are his children. He chose us. So we will fight. We will see that. So getting to the end of this thing, I have to end this discussion for right now. But before I do, I want to leave you this message with food for thought. And I want you to do your research to prove the words that I'm telling you. I don't want you to take for granted what I'm saying is true. Prove what I'm saying. Come on. We have smartphones. We have the internet. You can Google a lot of this. You can Google maps that will show you what people, what nations. You can Google this information, y'all. Don't let my word be the only word. Find this information out for yourself so you can prove it for yourself. And I want you to know that a war is coming. We must be prepared. The reason why God hid Jacob in the church, and Jacob, know that your name was changed to Israel. The reason why God hid Jacob in the church is to learn that word. Because they tried to separate us from our lifestyle, which being Hebrew and God's knowledge, the knowledge about God and the Bible, it was all a lifestyle. It wasn't religion. It was a lifestyle. So, knowing that is to tell you who you are. It's, this word was not meant to be religion. Religion kills. This is a lifestyle. So prove the words that I say. Because Satan is out to steal, kill, and destroy. And if he can put on you the way you were taught the word of God, then you'll be lost and confused. That's why you need to prove this. You need to prove the words I'm telling you so you won't be lost and confused. And in saying that Satan is out to steal, kill, and destroy, he must leave a remnant in the earth. He must leave that 144,000 according to God's word in Revelation 7. So, I'm going to leave you guys with that. And I want you to research so you will know what God's word is. And also, I want you to know, this is my plugger about Mothership Landing Poetry Night, where February 22nd, next Friday, at 4500 South Michigan Avenue, South Michigan Street, at the Swift Mansion, I'm having a poetry night, Mothership Landing Poetry Night, where we will be expressing through the poets what this is all about, expressing your lost history. So meet me there. Don't just meet me there, but beat me there. It is only $10 to give in with free food, free parking, and free drinks, y'all. But still, bring your own bottle. BYOB. So until next week, y'all, I wish you continued blessings and that your households may be covered in the blood of Jesus and with the word of God. Thank you and see you next week. Bye for now. Hey, y'all.